I don't know, like if I, for example, if I'm posing nude, I'm not really thinking about, oh, what do I look like? I'm just thinking, okay, let me just take this photo so that I'm able to say what I want to say, and therefore people will be able to connect with it. Because if I start thinking about what I look like, then all these thoughts will come into play about, like, being insecure about this and that, and then it kind of takes away what I want to say, in the beginning,
Welcome to the 19th episode of the Ikivi Podcast Season 2. In this episode, we have with us Ísold Halldórsdóttir from Reykjavík, Iceland, who began her modeling career just over 5 years ago. She was discovered by a fashion and creative director after applying to a talent competition to be featured in Love magazine in 2017. Since then, she has continued to advocate for diversity both within and outside the fashion industry, challenging the status quo as an artist and activist. In this heartfelt conversation, we discuss her journey of embracing her beauty in a stereotypical system, navigating through insecurities, standing up to societal norms, and finding a safe space to express herself through her art. We also explore how she has strengthened her role as a body image activist. The conversation was so earnest and deep, striking a chord for all of us. We hope it resonates with you too. Thank you so much, Ísold, for joining me to have this conversation. I am so excited. We a few months ago did an interview with our magazine and thought that it really deserved a podcast platform just to kind of, connect in person and have this conversation in real life because of the amazing work that you're doing. So to dive right in, we're going straight into the deep conversation.
Perfect. Okay. No pressure.
You've always inspired us with how in society where thinness is idealized and, you've not only embraced your own body and your own life, but also very powerfully championed body positivity and self-care with so much confidence and life. So I'd love to know a little bit more about your journey of owning your beauty in this stereotypical system that we live in.
Well, I think like growing up, obviously, I think we all experience this phase where we're kind of like confused about who we are and what we want to be and what we want to look like, especially when society is always trying to tell us something different, that we have to be prettier, skinnier, wider, we have to be perfect. I certainly deal with a lot of like ups and downs when it comes to my own appearance. I recently did a film that came out a few months ago, and it was like my first experience in acting. So I had no idea what to expect. And for the role, I had to grow out my hair, which felt very daunting to me because I really like my look, you could say. Like that, I've sort of like gotten used to having a buzz cut, and typically I bleach it and I'll bleach like my eyebrows as well. But since I'm working at a kindergarten now, I feel like I should tone it down a little bit. So that I don't scare the kids too much. But yeah, after the film, I kind of experienced a lot of like facial dysmorphia. And I still struggle trying to like figure out if I like what I look like. Sometimes I find myself to look as if I'm just like a stranger. And the same goes with my body. I think it's kind of complicated because I deal with a lot of questions about if I want to be referred to as a woman or as a man or gender neutral. Currently, I just go by all pronouns you could think of. Like I think of myself as gender fluid because I haven't really decided on any pronouns in particular. But it's kind of it's hard because my body is so feminine, you know, because of my curves, because of my boobs and my hips. So it's kind of hard for me to look, like, sometimes I find it difficult to look myself in the mirror because it's not really what I like to see all the time. And it's not necessarily because I'm fat. I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's just because I'm so feminine. So when it comes to like my appearance, I just try to remind myself that, first of all, it's okay to have insecurities. And I try to change the perspective and think of it differently. Like, people will say that we should accept our flaws, or that we should appreciate like our imperfections. And I don't really like the term of that, because I feel then we're automatically putting something negative out there, when in reality, we should just be able to say that we are perfect as we are. You know, there's nothing wrong with us. To say that we have flaws feels a little just wrong to me, because then we're kind of accepting that as a human being, there is something wrong with us technically, when we should be rather trying to think of it as, I am who I am because of everything that I've gone through. When it comes to like what we look like, it's so much based on being pretty, you know, being handsome, being beautiful. And when you're fat, there's a lot of pressure to always look appropriate. You know, you can't really have this sort of like lazy look around you, because then you're just deemed as lazy, you know. Like, you can't be wearing a sweatpants and a sweatshirt and that be like a statement of who you are, because then you're just considered a lazy being. And oh my God, I feel like I'm going all over the place. I'm not very good at this.
No, so tell me what you think about what you just said, right? Society tells us what perfect is and what we should mm-hmm. be like, not mm-hmm. just in terms of the size, but also in terms of whether we should be a woman, and if we're a woman, we should be like this, and if we're a man, we should be like this, and we should have this type of a personality, and this is the kind of life that we should lead. So when you're an individual kind of growing up and figuring these things out, you're looking mm-hmm. to these things. So how do we, or what happens then when you have to kind of hold on to what you have inside of you,
yeah,
to define who you want to be? Because that's really, really hard.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, even when I deal with like these insecurities, or when I have these thoughts of being imperfect or having flaws, the important thing to remind or to remember is that my body is the least important thing about me, you know? Like, it, you know, it's what matters is what I bring to the table with, you know, who I am as a person, with my personality, with my mind, with my opinions, and, you know, with who I am as a character. Whenever I have doubts about who I am, I think the most important thing that I try to remind myself is that these insecurities are based on what society thinks I should look like. You know, they're essentially trying to sell me beauty in a box. And when you think of it that way, it becomes more, it feels more like a scam almost. Mm. You know, when you're able to see that someone is trying to sell you something instead of trying to come to you with with like love and kindness, then you're able to kind of, or I'm able to kind of push it aside and remind myself that, you know, it doesn't really matter. And if I'm surrounded by people who think that the most interesting thing about me is what I look like, then I don't really want to associate with those people anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely hard you know, some days are good and some days are bad, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so like in my head, and I'm so used to doing like interviews through email and not really like being able to think about my answers. And I'm also like an extreme perfectionist. So like, I'm always worried about not being able to like articulate myself well enough or sounding like stupid or like stumbling my words all over the place, you know.
We got so much more from your answer than what I expected from the question that I had, so
okay, so you're on the right track. Perfect.
So can you tell us a little bit about growing up in Iceland and what that was like for you in terms of the way that you're thinking currently? Did that start off at that point when you were growing up? When did it begin? What was your story like?
So I grew up in Iceland until I was like 7 or 8. And then me and my mom, we moved to Copenhagen in Denmark. And we lived there until I was around 16, I think. So I think I mainly grew up in Copenhagen, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to... It's difficult because I feel like... because I deal with anxiety and I've dealt with depression, sometimes my memory isn't as good. You know, people say that when you go through traumatic experiences, you kind of forget things. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I was bullied a lot and I felt really isolated, and it was kind of hard for me to really connect with anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was really sort of used to being my own company. I don't know, like I just feel as if I really, I always felt like I wanted to do something important. Like I wanted to be a part of something. I wanted to like be a part of a community. And I found that through art specifically, like wanting to connect with art and music and dance and movies. And I think my character has always been based on you know, how artistic, you know, I see the world as. I try to see everything from an artistic point of view. I think that has helped me a lot to understand my body and to be able to like be less judgmental, because when it comes to art, it can be art can be anything. It can look like whatever. I really like that art is never bad or good. It just is, you know? And I think, I don't really think that I understood that growing up until I was maybe like in my late teenage years, like 18, 19. And I think when I started modeling, I was so like focused on doing something bigger than myself, trying to like move along this movement of body positivity, that I was able to kind of focus on trying to build something. And then I was able to like remove myself kind of from it all. Like I didn't, as if I was doing it. It was more just like, I'm just this body trying to like move along this movement, I guess, if that makes sense.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that actually means? I feel like the perception that we have on social media is one-sided, right? There's so many aspects to layers, that individual, and so many layers. So I'd love to understand that a little bit more, because we don't know the full story. That's what I mean.
Well, yeah, I think it's normal when it comes to social media that, like you said, that we sort of like put this one narrative out there of who we are or what we want to be perceived as. But I don't know, like when I started modeling, I really just wanted to create a voice for other people. Like it wasn't really about me. Like, I really wasn't thinking that I wanted to be a model. Like, it was never about being a model. It was always just about the activism behind it, trying to like create a space for other people, trying to like trying to put fat people on the cover, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a difficult relationship that I have with fashion, because you could say that I haven't really done a lot, but the things that I've done have been big. And like, I'm definitely very, like, I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that I've gotten. But most of the projects that I've done have been in nude. Like, I haven't worn a lot of clothing. And therefore, it becomes more, like I said, it becomes more of like an artistic perspective rather than like the fashion industry. Sort of like, it's all just a matter of how I try to be creative, essentially. I'm really grateful that I was able to build this sort of like community, because I think ultimately that's all I've ever wanted, is just to be a part of a community. I don't know, like, I just wanted people to be able to see that it was okay being fat. When they go on my page, I just want them to see that it's okay being who you are, that you don't have to change anything. You don't have to lose weight to be happy, or you don't have to like look like anything that you're not to live life. You know, you're okay as you are, really. I don't know, like, if I, for example, if I'm posing nude, I'm not really thinking about, oh, what do I look like? I'm just thinking, okay, let me just take this photo so that I'm able to say what I want to say, and therefore people will be able to connect with it. Because if I start thinking about what I look like, then all these thoughts will come into play about, like, you know, being insecure about this and that. And then it kind of takes away what I want to say, you know, in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then that also helps me understand that like everything that I'm going through, like all these doubts that I might be having in that moment before I try to like remove myself from the situation, those thoughts aren't real. Like, they're essentially lying to me. And then that becomes a part of the process of like posting the photo and then writing whatever caption and then being okay with whatever the final picture or how do you say, like, what the final project looks like.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, no, I think that that's so powerful to, and I feel like to kind of find that balance between removing yourself but also being connected to it and having your personality come through but also being disconnected to some extent, really, I think, brings about something very powerful, because you're not limited by your own insecurities then, or you're not limited So there's nothing holding you back. You kind of just kind of...
Exactly.
Out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I've gone through a lot of like difficult things in my life, and that has probably helped me being able to like disconnect with whatever is happening by just moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to like put that towards my creativity, my activism. So it's not as if it's like just an easy thing that I'm able to do. Yeah. It's something that I've definitely like had to like practice for sure. But also I'm just so focused on the fact that if I see myself as art, then essentially there is nothing wrong with what I look like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, because art is, it just is. And that really helps me do whatever I want to do in life, because then it like provides the stability of thinking that it's going to be okay. You know, that I'm not doing anything wrong, that I don't look wrong, that I just look as I look, and I'm just behaving as I do in any situation, and knowing that, you know, I'm just doing the best I can, essentially.
Can you tell us a little bit about your art, and in the sense of your social media page is absolutely stunning. Each little grid on the page has a story to tell, and it's just so powerful. And you do photography yourself as well. So we'd love to hear about all that you're doing currently. Can you tell us what you do?
So I've been a little distant on my social media, like on Instagram. I haven't really posted as much as I have in the past. I think before I did this film, I was so I made it like a point to post something, like a weekly thing or like every other day. And then after I did this film, because I was just so focused on working, like I didn't really have time to post anything on social media. It kind of like became a second thought to me to post something. It just didn't seem like I had anything of value to say anymore, because I just felt as if I was just repeating myself, essentially. And then going through like personal things and personal challenges, I felt a little confused about what I wanted to do moving forward with my career. And so trying to figure that out, and while also trying to figure out who I am as an artist. I mean, sometimes I don't really feel like I am an artist, to be honest with you, but I think that's very normal to feel us. But I don't know, like my art is so much based on where I am at the moment, you know, like whatever I'm going through. And I have all these ideas of what I want to do, but then I get I have this thing where like if I think of something that I want to do, I almost already want to have done it so that I don't have to do it. If that makes sense, because I'm so worried about not being able to do it perfectly. And then I get in my own head, and then somehow I don't end up doing any of it. And I don't know, like I used to be so expressive on Instagram. Like I used to be so confident, and I don't think I am as confident anymore. I just don't feel as if I have that much to say lately. There's for instance, I'm reading this book called Cleopatra and Frankenstein, and this character is explaining how it feels to be a painter and what it's like to paint. And she says something about how it's almost like when you're decluttering your room or like the kitchen or whatever, and for the first few minutes it looks like a complete mess, and then slowly you start putting everything together and organizing it, and then after it's done, there's like this tiny little moment where you think, it's perfect. And then it's gone like that. And that's kind of how I feel like all the time about being an artist and being an activist. It's like, okay, I'm going to create this post or this art piece of a painting or a picture or poetry or whatever it is. And I think at first it's kind of like this clutter. It doesn't really make any sense. And I slowly start to put it together. And then once it's finished, there's this moment. There's like this aha moment, or like, oh my God, I finished it. It looks amazing. Or I feel like I was able to put everything that I want to put on this page or to this post. And then it's kind of gone immediately. Yeah. And I think, well, I have to find something next. Like I have to keep going. So I'm always kind of like searching for something meaningful, and trying to come up with something meaningful just so that I have this moment of peace. I'm always trying to search for this moment of peace, I guess. And I don't know, I think right now I'm not really doing anything, to be honest with you. Like I'm living in this very small town. There's one grocery store that closes at 6 p.m. There's Where nothing, is this? You know, this is in Ólafsfjörður. It's in Iceland. It's like 6 hours away from Reykjavík, which is the main area in Iceland. So there's nothing here. So there's not really a lot for me to do. And I started working at this kindergarten just to make, you know, a solid income. And I don't know, like when it comes to being an artist, there's a lot of doubt that goes into whatever you want to create. And I think everybody can relate to that.
Just to go back a little bit in our conversation where we were talking about how you kind of detach from yourself mm-hmm. and put things out there for a different purpose.
But I think like for so long I was trying to find who I was, and you can't really do that. You can't really go backwards. You know, you can only move forward. You can't really think of yourself as trying to search for who you used to be. And for so long, I was trying to like hold on to that, trying to think, okay, if I just shave my head again, I can be who I used to be. If I just bleach my eyebrows again, I can be the old me. And then I realized that that's not really healthy. You know, I can't really do that. So I can only move forward. And as I move forward, I guess I'm just trying to find who I am, and I don't really know who I am at the moment. So I think that's why I've been sort of quiet on social media, because I don't really know what I want to say. And then I don't think I have the confidence that I used to be able to say it with the same clarity almost. Mm. I'm a very sensitive person. Like, I'm very emotional, and there's a lot that's going on in this world right now. Like, yeah. There's a lot of war and injustice, and I kind of find it difficult to justify being able to do what I want to do when the world is like falling apart, essentially. Like, I kind of find it hard to be able to like post anything online when so much is going on that feels so much more important than what I have to say, essentially, you know?
Yeah. I'd love to hear, if you're willing to share, what kind of things that you have up your sleeve, if it's something that you're ready to share, of course, if in terms of your art and what you want to do, or what you want to do, if at all, with whatever you have going on for you.
Well, I thought about creating a podcast called Talking to Myself. I've never talked to anyone about this publicly before, so now I guess I have to do it since I'm doing it right now, talking about it.
we can take it off the podcast if you want.
no, it's okay. Like, I wanted to create a podcast called Talking to Myself, where I essentially just talk out loud about whatever I'm thinking about or going through. And then I wanted to create like a separate thing related to that, being called Talking to Strangers, just to be able to connect, because that's all I, like I said, like we've been saying back and forth, like I just want to connect with people. It would be interesting to get to talk to people from all over and talk to them about whatever's going on. Like, I'm not saying that it has to be about, you know, their story essentially, but just about whatever they might be going through on that day, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I think also like having it be anonymous, so that it kind of takes away that pressure of trying to look perfect or sounding perfect. And I think I would have liked to just be that, maybe sometimes, to not have to be a face in this world sometimes. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm always obviously very grateful that I was able to have all of these opportunities where I was able to build a community and have a voice and have a platform where I can say something of value and try to like move along this movement of body positivity, or just like of trying to like see yourself differently. But sometimes I kind of wish that I could just be on the other side, you know, mm-hmm. where I didn't have to be that voice. Where I didn't have to, you know, put myself out there, where I could just look at someone else doing it for me. And that's kind of how I view this podcast as, that I wanted to do. And then, yeah, like I really want to be able to travel the world. I think that's my priority right now, is trying to save up as much money as I can. And then next year, when it gets a little warmer, I just want to like go see everything that I possibly can.
Exciting.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I am terrified of flying though. So. I don't know. I keep putting myself in these positions where I tend to do things in fear almost. Like, I don't really know how to do things differently other than just to do them scared. Like when it came to modeling, I had no idea what I was doing, but I was able to do it for the activism behind it, and therefore it was a little less scary. And then when I did this film, again, I had no idea what I was doing, and I had to learn a different language. And I just found myself doing it anyway, because I thought this was something new, something exciting, a challenge, you know. But I was terrified. I was thinking, what the hell am I doing? And that's kind of how I go through life. I just end up doing things regardless of if it's safe or not, you know? And I don't really know how to do things differently, I guess, other than to just do them in fear. Like with flying, I really don't like flying, but I find myself traveling all the time. And I just said that I want to travel the world. So, you know, I guess you just have to push through it sometimes. And obviously I would love to be able to paint more, but I think because I don't really have a space for it right now. Like, I don't really have my own space. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Ikibi podcast. If you are enjoying listening to our podcast, do consider supporting us by visiting www.ikibi.com. That is ikkivi.com. We are a small sustainable business supporting contemporary Indian brands. Our platform is run by an all-women team, handpicking the most beautiful, ethically made clothes and accessories from across the country, all in one place. Our podcast is self-funded and will always be free to listen to. You supporting our work would mean a lot to us. Thank you for being here, and let's get back to our episode.
I'm curious to know, and we're kind of running out of time here, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about the town that you're living in and what your day looks like. It sounds exciting.
Well, it's not really as exciting as you're probably picturing it. The thing I love about, because I've always lived in a city, like I consider myself to be such a city rat almost. Like I love being in the middle of everything. And I'm so used to like being surrounded by noise.
Yeah.
And then living here in a small town, there's nothing, like there's no noise.
Yeah.
But the thing that I love most about it is that there are mountains everywhere. So it's always so like peaceful. Like whenever I'm going to work, I have to take the bus to the town next door, and the only way through is through like a tunnel. And if I'm feeling like down or tired or sad or whatever, all I have to do is look outside the window, and I have this sense of peace knowing that like it's not as bad as I think it is, because look at these beautiful mountains. Like, it's gonna be fine, Isol. Like, something this beautiful in front of you, like life can't be that bad if something this beautiful is just standing there being still, and you're like, I'm just amazed by it almost. And it gives me like so much peace and comfort. And so like my day-to-day is kind of just waking up really, really early, like around 7. Which I consider to be really early. That might not be really early for a lot of people. And then I go to work. I work at a kindergarten, and it's like the best job in the whole world. Wow. Like, I love it. I love being able to connect with these kids and being able to like, I love that my day consists of playing with kids, essentially. And then if they have a bad day or if they're crying, then I'm just like giving them a hug, or like, you know, giving them words of encouragement. And I don't know, it just feels so good to be able to, like, it just feels so wholesome almost. to just be a part of these little kids' lives.
You're doing such amazing things, and I'm so looking forward to what you do next.
Thank you. That's really, even if it's, that's really kind of you to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Isol, for having this conversation with me. I think we went all over the place, but I feel like there was there was so much passion and emotion in this conversation.
If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the EKB podcast, a space for discussion on living meaningful and fuller lives each day. The EKB podcast is a property edited and produced by the team at EKB.